The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, fellas. Take your Bible, if you will, and go back to the book of Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 4, where the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Now, that's in the Scriptures, so the things that are written in the Bible was written for our learning. There's not anything in the Bible that has been written that you cannot learn from. And the Bible says was written for our learning, and it says that we, through patience now, it says through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You know, you ever go through a problem and you say, "I tell you what, I don't know why I'm going through this problem." Well, many times a problem will help you to be able to have a greater hope. If you lived a life that was always rosy, you lived a life that was always without stress, you lived a life that was always smooth, you lived a life where there was no complications, no challenges, no interruptions whatsoever, it might be kind of boring. Also, you won't learn as much. Many times we will learn more by walking through the valleys than we do by that which is basking on the mountains. And so we understand there's a reason. When we talk about this morning the product of patience, there's a reason that we go through different things. You know, sometimes when dealing with different ones that you see perhaps are not patient, you'll see that they be able to illustrate that through different bodily motions, different body actions, if you will. Perhaps looking at the phone or tapping a pen or looking up from time to time at the ceiling or maybe even from time to time glancing at the door hoping you catch the hint. You know, you see that there might be that which is impatience. And I think more of us probably know that which is impatience than we have to be able to know that which is patience. We live in a society that it seems like everything is a time crunch. Hurry up to get there so that you can wait. You know, let's hurry up and get this done. We've got to get this done here, and we've got to get this done here, and it's a time crunch. There's a church, by the way, in Florida. I'm not recommending it. I'm not saying you ought to go visit it, but there's a church in Florida, and they boast on the fact that their services are only 22 minutes long. Now, don't get excited about that, please. But in this 22-minute-long service, it is a drive-through service. Lasts for 22 minutes. The music is fast. The prayer is fast. They say that you'll never hear a message that's past 8 minutes. 8 minutes. Now, I can tell you something. You will never hear an 8-minute message from this pulpit unless suddenly I'm taken ill after 7.5 minutes. Okay? But they say it's a fast service. Now, by the way, everybody wants stuff that is fast. There's a story about a man that he was stopped by a traffic light. It had just turned red, and as he was sitting there, he had a clunker of a car, and as he's sitting there, all of a sudden the car dies. Traffic is piling up behind him. The horns begin to blow. People are becoming quite impatient. And blowing those horns even more and more, and you hear people hollering from a couple of cars behind, and he's trying his best. I mean, he's trying to get the thing started. He could not get the thing started, and so he is trying his best. He could not get it started, so finally he gave up. And he went to the man behind him, handed him the keys. He said, "Look, I've tried my best to get it started. I can't get it started, so I'll tell you what. Let's switch places for a while. You go up and try and start it. Let me blow your horn." Okay? Patience. You know, oftentimes I'll leave the office a little bit later, especially on Tuesday. I'll leave because we have staff meeting. I meet with the staff men that I have, the 5 assistant pastors, and we'll meet from 2 o'clock to about 5 o'clock. And then Brother Yao comes in. He's our bus director, and I'll meet with him from 5 o'clock to about 6:30 or so, and I'll head home. And can I tell you, between the times of 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, giving you a traffic report, between the times of 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, you just don't want to get on Highway 80 heading to Forney. because you're probably going to be every bit of a half hour to 45 minutes more than what your normal travel time is just because of the traffic. And you see people, boy, you know, some people are just real patient. I mean, you know, they're taking that time to be able to shoot some texts out, or they're calling, or you know, they're talking sometimes to themselves, but they're talking, and they're just really patient. I see other people that are not patient. I mean, I see people that are agitated. Can I tell you those curves that are here in Texas? You know what that means? Nothing. You know, you see people, and I'm serious. I see people when I'm heading out the 40 and forget the road. It doesn't matter if there's a road there or not. I mean, these guys are going to run across the grass and hit the frontage road. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I've seen them try and do it in the mud and get hung up. You know, then they get out and they get all upset and they kick the car like it's the car's fault. You know, but just being impatient. Some people have given some definitions of patience. Somebody said this: patience is the ability to put up with the people that you like to put down. Somebody else said this: you know, patience is accepting the difficult situation without giving God a deadline on when to remove it. Somebody said this, that patience is the inner calmness that a person has with the knowledge that God is in complete control. Somebody said this, that patience is the ability to bear trials without grumbling or complaining. The two Greek words that comprise that which is patience is cheerfully enduring. Cheerfully enduring. Or if you would please, not being somebody, which would be the opposite of that. It would be somebody that is not cheerfully enduring, or maybe kind of short on the fuse part. So what is patience? Do you have it? Do you have patience? Do you have the patience that God would have you to have? Now, I will tell you this, that even if you consider yourself a very patient individual, probably we need to work on it more. Probably this is something that every single one of us in this room could give attention to and be able to do a better job at, and that's just being patient. Let me give you some thoughts about it, okay? Statement number one, patience is the product of a good heart. Patience is the product of a good heart. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, the Bible says, but that on good ground, it says, they are, which are of an honest and good heart, having heard the word, it says, keep it and bring forth, it says, the fruit with patience. And so here you have, if you would please, an illustration of the seed that goes into the ground. The ground is good. The ground has been prepared. The ground has been plowed. The ground has been toiled or tilted up. You'll see that the ground now has the seed that is germinated and it's placed into the heart of the soil. And the end result of that is that seed is going to grow into a plant, and that plant is going to mature, and that plant is going to bring forth fruit. But it's all because the ground has been tilled. It's all because it's been plowed. It's all because it's been broken up and able to receive that seed so that that seed will bring forth that which is fruit. Well, that is also illustrated in the heart of a person that receives Jesus Christ as Savior. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, somewhere along the line, somebody has come along, they've given you the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit has used that Word of God as a tool whereby He begins to plow, and He's beginning to till up the heart and to make it soft. And now, all of a sudden, you understand your need of Christ as a lost person, and you bow your heart, and you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And can I tell you that when a person opens up their heart to Jesus Christ, good things happen. But can I also tell you, when there is a time of that product of patience working in your life, if you have that good type of heart, can I tell you that God will begin to use that in a fashion that He would not use any other way? because you're not going to get mad all of a sudden when something doesn't go right. You're not going to get upset. You're not going to be short-fused. You think about the other three type of grounds that is illustrated in this particular story. And yes, some was able to receive the seed, but it didn't penetrate and it did not last very long and it disappeared. Well, we don't want that to happen in our lives. We want to be able to allow whatever seed that God wants to plant in our life to be able to be that which is germinated and be able to be received and be able to grow, you know. And so there is that which is the product of a good heart, you know. A good-hearted person will try to allow God to work without pushing God along. Will try to allow God to have time without putting God on a timetable and saying, God, let me tell you what, if you don't answer prayer right now, then I'm going to stop trusting you. No, we should never stop trusting him. And we realize that he will answer prayer, yes, if he does answer prayer and chooses to do so in his time. In his time. Well, I'm going to pray this three times. Like it's a magical number. I'm going to pray this three times, and God, if you don't answer, I'm not going to pray it anymore. No, you know, over in the Bible, you'll see where there is the continual knocking. It's a perpetual state. You'll see there's the continual asking. There's the continual seeking, and then you find, and then that which you have lost has been revealed to you. And we understand this. We understand it's a continual state of being. You continue to go on. You know, we prayed for our children to get saved that are early age, but it wasn't a one-time walking in saying, dear God, please save our children, then walking out. No. We pray every night, dear God, touch their hearts at a young age and help them to understand their need of salvation. And God, I pray that you'd save them at an early age and help them to come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ and receive Christ as Savior. You know, we prayed that every single night. You know, just like you pray for your children, and also after they even get saved or prior to, you're praying for God's safety, and but you're waiting on God. You're waiting on God. You can't save them, but you're waiting on God, and you're praying earnestly. So patience is a product of a good heart. Statement number two, patience is a product of tribulation. Of tribulation. You know this verse very well. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. The Bible says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So what brings, you say, preacher, I like to have patience. What do I do? Well, you might want to ask God to send you trouble. Because in trouble, you learn how to respond patiently. Romans chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, in patience, experience, and experience, hope. And so the maturing power of that which is a tribulation will help you. And by the way, no better life illustrated than in the life of Job. You know, Job is a righteous man, and yet you'll see that he's placed in the hands of Satan. Then he's placed in the hands of man. Then you'll see that finally he's in the hands of God. In the hands of man, he experienced that which would help him to gain more experience in dealing with people. In the hands of God, he understood that he is going to be triumphant if he allows God to be his hope and not turn his back on God. And so you'll see that Job, a great example of how to deal with tribulation and problems when it comes your way. And by the way, you're not going to have a life without problems. You're not going to have a life without time to time. I'm teaching on Wednesday night about duties in the home. And right now I'm teaching a little bit of a segment there about child rearing. And did you know I said this? I said that every teenager at one time or another is going to go through a tumultuous time in their life where you need to be there as mom and daddy. You know, you as an adult, young married couple, you're going to go through some tumultuous times in your marriage where you're just going to have to decide, we're going to stick it out, we're going to make it work. You as a college age or young professional just starting your business or now in school and just finishing it up and getting ready to enter into the business world, can I tell you, there is going to be trials and there is going to be difficulties and there is going to be dilemmas. But if you allow God to work in your life and allow God to be able to help you, the product of that which is tribulation is the very thing that you're needing, and that's patience. You know, over in John chapter 16 and verse 33, the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you that," this is what it says, "that in me you might have peace." Now, what things have he spoken unto you that you might have peace? The Bible says, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." He said, "I have overcome the world." Well, isn't that good? He said, "I'm telling you, in this world, you're going to go through turbulent time. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have difficulties." He said, "But look, I want to encourage you just a little bit. I've overcome the world." Now, doesn't the Bible teach that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? And so because of him, I can overcome things. Now, tribulation is that which is a product. It's a product. But the end result of that which is the tribulation that is sent to you is to give you the greater product, the end result. It's sort of like that tribulation is an ingredient that is put into that which is the making of the final cake or the final result, which is patience. Now, years ago, 20 plus now years ago, I had a major allergic reaction to the white refined sugar. There's something in that white refined sugar that does not work well with my body. And if I take that, if I take it in a good dosage, that white refined sugar, my fingers begin to swell in between. You know, I look like that I'm a cousin of a frog. My face gets puffy. My throat swells shut. You know, I start feeling really bad. I lose all my energy. I mean, it just wipes me out. Now, I don't know why that is true. You know, I wish I was allergic to salt, pepper, hot sauce, but sugar? Now, I'm not allergic to my wife's sugar. I like her sugar. But that white refined sugar, you know, it just, and so I have to be very, very careful about some of the things I take in. But now, wait a minute, you know what that's taught me? That's taught me to be patient with people that do have some physical challenges when it comes to intaking various things or not intaking various things in their diet. That's helped me. Can I tell you, I never would have learned that if it was not for that problem. And so those things that come in your way, those products that come in your way will help you. Think about this, that tribulation, that patience, it'll help you to have the character to be able to look forward to hope. It comes from a Latin word. It simply means this, a tubulum. A tubulum is what they used back then, and it was sort of like the board that they would use to be able, and it was on the edge of the board, the spikes that would go through for the threshing of the grain. And so that tubulum was put out there so that when it came time to thresh the grain, you would use a tubulum. Paul used it in his day and others in his day to be able to separate that which is the wheat from the chaff. He used a tubulum. Now, by the way, that's what happens in our life. When we have tribulations in our life, it separates some things in our life. You get to see your flesh and you get to see your spirit. You get to see how you are identified. And then you could take and do a litmus test by going over to maybe the book of Galatians chapter 5 and studying that which is the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. And as you're going through a tribulation or time, do a judgment on yourself to see how are you responding. Are you responding the way the spirit would want you to respond? Or are you responding the way the flesh would want you to respond? Are you walking in the spirit or are you walking in the flesh? Are you pleasing that which is yourself, or are you pleasing that which is the Lord? You see, as we go through the tribulational times in our life, can I tell you, it is not bad for us. It is, however, revealing to us because it shows us who we really are. All right? So patience is the product of that which is a good heart. Patience is the product of that which is tribulation. Patience is the product of testing your faith. My daddy used to tell me this, if you don't have time to do it right, you must have time to do it again. I hated to hear that. But if you don't have time to do it right, you must have time to do it again. Well, did you know there are certain tests that you would not have to take over and over in your life if you'd simply pass it the first time? You know, and patience is that which is the product of the testing of faith. James chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you some testings in your faith to be able to mature you so that you can pass the test. By the way, Abraham failed the test when he ran ahead of the Lord and brought back Hagar. Moses failed the test when all of a sudden he killed a man. Then he spent 40 years tending the sheep on the backside of the desert. Peter almost failed the test completely as he almost killed a man because of his impatience. So you can be somebody that will fail the test. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to take the test over and over again. I don't want to do that. You know, for those of you, some of you men are trying to get your CDL license, and you say, preacher, man, there's so many different phases of that. You know, where you got to take this, and you got to go back and then take this, and you got to go back and take this, and you got to go back and take this. Why couldn't they just do it simple and just do it like, boom, one time and it's over? Okay, now, can I tell you that what that does when it is given to you incrementally, it is building a different part of you. See, we want everything, and I know how we live in our society, we want everything like that now. Like that now. Person wants to be a president without paying the cost. Right now. Person wants to not work for a company but own the company right now. Young people want the house that it took their parents 40 years to get right now. They want the nice cars that their parents had. And by the way, your parents did not own the nice car that they own today when they were your age. Think about it. They paid the dues in order to be able to get what they have. Now, so you understand that patience is the product of the testing of faith. So your faith is tested. What happens? It produces a product. What is the product that it produces? Well, the end result of that is the fact that you're going to be able to have some patience. By the way, you can have patience given to you not only through that, but it's a product of hope. You know, as a person goes through times and times and times again, you know, it gives you the hope that, hey, there is an answer. I remember praying for mom and daddy to get saved, and I had great hope that they would receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And I never gave up hope because I wanted them saved so much. And then I saw other people getting saved. I remember Ryan Riley many years ago, an evangelist, told me this, and I had such a burden for mom and daddy to get saved. And here's what Ryan Riley told me. He said, if I were you, what I would do is I would go out and I would try to lead as many other moms and dads to Christ as I possibly could. And I said, I understand. I was a new believer, didn't understand. He said, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you want to see your mom and daddy get saved, then you get busy leading other mom and daddies to Christ. And he said, I really believe that God's going to send somebody by to win your mom and daddy to Christ. I thought, wow, never thought of it that way. And so as I was at Bible college, just 26 hours away from my house, you know, I was so afraid that somebody would not go by and lead my mom and daddy to Christ. And mom and daddy was shut down to the gospel. I was just so afraid. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to take that verse. I'm going to take God at his word, and I'm going to see what happens. I'm just going to step out and do as much as I can to lead as many people I can to Christ, but when I see a mom and dad walk by, I'm not going to ignore them. Matter of fact, I'm going to go aggressively after them. I'm not going to ignore anybody, but when I see a mom and daddy walk by about the age of my parents, I'm really going after them. And did you know, over a period of time, Shelton Smith kept going by and knocking on my mom and daddy's house, and he didn't give them the gospel to begin with. He just kind of won his way into my mom's heart by just talking about her boy that was at Bible college. And after many, 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 many trips, he sat down at the kitchen table and led my mom to the Lord. Now, wait a minute, though. I believe that God, as I prayed, and I did, I pray. Every Friday was fasting day for me. And so every Friday I would earnestly fast and I would beg God. I mean, I didn't eat on Friday, so all I did was just fast. All these years of Bible college and even in New York, we would pray, my wife and I together on Fridays, and we would fast and we would pray and we would beg God, please save my parents. Please save my parents. Please send somebody by. Please give them the gospel. Please, I don't want them to die and burn in hell. I don't want that. And so God, please send somebody by. You've got to reach them. And please do this. And we heard that mama had cancer, and boy, we started to earnestly turn it up even more. And oh God, please reach her. Please help her to come to Christ before she dies of cancer. And boy, and then different ones would go by, and different preachers would come into chapel, and they would be evangelists. And I would say, hey, in your evangelist route, do you ever go to Maryland? Well, yeah, I do. Do you ever preach there in Westminster, Maryland, at Dr. Smith's church? Well, yeah, I do. Well, when you preach up there, can you go by and see my parents? Can you go down Maple Grove Road and visit mom and daddy? Would you do that? Man, I was trying to get as many people by there as I could. Why? Because I had a burden for them, and I had a great hope. I had a great hope. I had a great hope. See, here's what we do. We look at our tribulation, and if you're not careful, here's what you do. And I'm telling you, because I live there too sometimes. Here's what you do. You look at your tumultuous time, your tribulation, and it's all around you, and you give up. You say, there's just no way I can find my way out of this. It reminds me of the comical story of a man walking through the graveyard late at night. Couldn't find his way. Fresh dug grave. He slipped. He fell in the grave. He tried for hours to get out of the grave. He hollered. Nobody would come. He jumped up. He couldn't get out of the grave. He tried to climb out. He'd slide back down. For hours he tried to get out of the grave. And so finally he said, forget it. I'll wait till the morning. Somebody will come by. I'll be able to see better. I'll be able to get out of this grave come morning time. So he decided he's just going to go over and sit in the corner, just go to sleep, not worry about it till morning. Went over and sat in the corner. About 2 hours later, somebody else is walking through the same graveyard. They slipped and they fell. And the guy thought it was so comical. You know, misery loves company. He thought it was so comical. Here's this guy. He's in the grave too. So he sat over there in the corner real quiet. Didn't say a word. This guy was hollering. Nobody's answering. He's jumping up and down. He can't get out. And he said, somebody, please help me. Please, please get me out of this grave. I don't want to spend the night. And so this guy decided to speak up. He said, you won't get out of this grave. But he did. He did. You know why? He got out simply because there was a word that came that gave him the overwhelming hope, I'm making it out of here. Come on. Huh, you heard about the old donkey that fell in the dry well. Oh, man, the farmer loved his donkey. Man, he cared about his donkey so much. He said, man, I can't stand it. My donkey's going to die in that old dried out well. I can't stand it. You know, if he's going to die, I might as well help him die. You know, I'll just bury him alive. Not really the humane thing to do, but at least he'll die quicker. So he got himself a pickup truck full of dirt. He backed it up there, hit the button. It dumped into it. All of a sudden, you heard all sorts of cantations, all sorts of snorting. You saw all sorts of dust flying up. And he looked down there. He couldn't see it, but he heard donkey was still alive. He thought, man, that didn't work. I'll go back and get another dump truck full of dirt. Brought it back, dumped it in a dry well. And all of a sudden, after the smoke had cleared out, all the dust had cleared out, he listened, couldn't see it. It was too deep, but he heard that donkey. Donkey's still alive and well. After about 15 trucks of dirt that he dumped in there, the donkey simply just walked on. What we do is we allow the pressure and the problems to overcome us when you should be walking over them, not allowing them to cover you. Here we go. You ready? Patience is the product of hope. Romans chapter 8 and verse 25, the Bible says, but if we hope, it says, for we have not, have seen not, then do we have patience and wait for it. So as we have a great hope in the Lord Jesus Christ coming and at the time of the rapture, can I tell you, there's a great hope. You know, wherever there's a great hurt, can I tell you, there's always a greater hope. who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Statement number next, and I'm done. Here it is. I said that patience is the product of a good heart, product of tribulation, product of testing our faith, product of hope. Here it is, product of the Scriptures. Go back to our original verse that we looked at, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. The Bible says, "For it says, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning." You know, we can learn about patience. We can learn about patience. I remember many, many years ago when we lived someplace else and our kids were just wee little bitty kids, bought a swing set, one of these gigantic swing sets. I'm talking about had several swings on it, had a slide on it, had a monkey bar on it. I mean, it had all the perks of a very, very upscale swing set. I remember my wife going in the house and saying, "Honey, you gonna be able to do this?" And I said, "I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. It's okay. I've got it." And I remember being out there, and it looks so easy to put together. So I'm taking this, and I'm putting it in there. I'm putting it in there. I'm putting it. And she said, "Don't you need these?" Held up the instructions. I said, "No, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it." I put that thing together. I had pieces that was left over. Didn't know where they went. I ran out of bolts. There were some long bolts that probably went in short sockets or whatever. And then it comes time to look at the instructions after you have the thing up. That would have been a whole lot easier because I had to take some of it back apart, get the bolts out, and try and had to find some of the bolts because I put them in the wrong place. And you know, that thing became a tribulation. But in that tribulation, I learned some valuable lessons. Come on. In that tribulation period, I remember we first got married. Mo, I tell you what, when you first get married, can I tell you, it's a trip. It's a trip. Because two different personalities are coming together. You know, I'm from Maryland, so I was a Maryland ham. I was going to marry a Florida orange. Hopefully we're going to get a good product. And man, so here I was, and so we get married, and she's a Southern gal, and there's nothing like her cooking, I mean, her sweetness. But I wasn't used to that Southern personality as much. And I fell in love with her. We dated for 2 years, and man, it was wonderful. Wouldn't trade it for the world. We've been married for 31 plus years. And it's getting better and better and better. One day we'll lose both our sets of teeth and we'll gum each other to death. I mean, you know, man, I love my wife. Now, wait a minute, watch this. But, you know, she was used to putting things away proper. You know how some of you ladies are? I was in a dormitory, a bunch of guys. Only time we really cleaned up really sharp was when we knew the dorm soup was coming through, white glove inspection time. We'd spiff it up. We'd spiff it up. We had certain places we hid stuff, too. For fast inspections, yes. And sometimes we'd take it to other guys' rooms so they get in trouble, not us. And we had it all planned out, you know. But got married, never will forget. I was taking off my shirt. Hamper was over there. Took it, shot, missed, walked away. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Nothing. I didn't know what I was, nothing." She said, "Exactly. Don't you think you ought to pick your shirt up?" I said, "Well, I'll get it when I'm in that area." She said, no, it's on the floor. It's on the floor. I said, "Yeah, I see that." She said, "Don't you think you ought to put it in the hamper?" "Yeah, I will." "Well, like now?" "Well, I'm not over there right now." You know, and we had, you know, and then she trained me right. Now I've been hitting the hamper now for over 30 years. I am an expert hamper hitter. Oh, there's just different things. You know, I mean, making the bed. We did make the bed in the dorms. We did make the beds. You know, I mean, ours was like quick, you know. And then when a guy by the name of, I forget his name. I think first name was Ted or something like that. He was our dorm suit. When he came, he was ex-military. And man, you know, he wanted to be able to bounce a quarter off the bed. You couldn't bounce a quarter off the bed. They were not good beds. You know, but he wanted to bounce the quarter off the bed. We tried that. It'd land dead every single time. We practiced it, so we decided we'd put a board there. Okay? Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. You know, you can learn in situations. I told my wife, I said, honey, look, we get married. I always want to treat you like you deserve. Love you. Always want to treat you like you deserve. I want to open the door for you. I want to be a gentleman. Just, that's what I want to do. Open the door. I want to treat you like you deserve. That's it. You're my sweetheart. You're my queen. You're it, princess. Ever there comes a day I don't open the door for you, you just don't get out. Stay there. I'll remember. Never forget, first date, after marriage, heading to the mall. I forgot. Got out. I was in a hurry to go and buy something. Got out. Left her in the car. I didn't know I left her in the car. Had no idea. I thought she was right behind me. You know, I'm walking along. And I said, you know what? You are so special to me. Lady behind me is back in her 70s or 80s. She thought that was so sweet. I remember I went back out. I said, honey, why didn't you get out of the car? She said, you told me that if ever you forget to open the door, just stay in the car. I was wondering when you're going to come back. Come on. Patience. You know, sometimes you have to be patient with someone, and sometimes the one that you have to be patient with is also trying to be patient with you. You ever realize it's not all about you? You ever realize that you have as many shortcomings as you're pointing out in somebody else's life? You ever realize that you've not arrived yet? You ever realize that there's no perfect person in this room? And yes, I'm sorry to say that includes you. Do we understand that patience we can learn in the scriptures? It says patience and comfort. It says of the scriptures, you might have hope. So God says in the Bible, when it looks like there is no hope, you can find hope. In the Bible, when it just seems like, yeah, I just don't know what's going to happen, you can find out many times how God is going to do something in the Bible. And in the Bible, we come to a clear understanding about how God, okay, watch this. I'm a counselor. Watch this. I'll put in, I don't know, a bunch of hours every week counseling people. Watch. You know, there's some people that come in and I'll say, no, don't do that. I can be very bold. Don't do that. Now, I can be that bold. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't. I can do that. Because there's a Bible principle that says if you do that, you're going to reap the whirlwind right here. Now, you know, don't do that. That's a foolish activity. That's not wise. You're going to reap the whirlwind. It's coming if you do that. I can tell other people this. I can say, here's what the Bible says. Do this. You do this. If you do this, hey, let me tell you, here's the benefit. Here's the benefit. Here's the blessing. I mean, it's right there. Clear as the nose on your face. Right there. Do that. Here's the blessing. Okay? So in the scriptures, you can learn things even about hope. You can learn things about this is the way things should be done, and it should be principally driven. And so by doing so, God will bless you by allowing it to be principally driven. See, there's a lot that God uses to teach us patience. Don't you wish we had it all figured out? Don't you wish that? Don't you wish that life was so easy? Don't you wish it? Don't you wish it? I mean, don't you just wish that, man, I tell you what, it's just so, a lot of it, however, can be seen in your Bible where God says, this is the way I planned your life. Walk therein. So you don't have to make a lot of decisions yourself when it comes to principles in the Bible. And then we follow those, and then God gives us Father, help us, I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.